Please turn with me tonight to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and we will begin our reading at verse 46. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and verse 46. And they, the disciples and Jesus, came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless this public reading of God's holy, precious, and infallible word to our hearts. And just before we come to the word of God, let us bow in a word of prayer, asking God to bless us as we come to the word. Father in heaven, how we praise and thank thee for this special time that we can come now into thy presence. It is no wasted time to seek thy face, to spend time in the house of God, to worship thee, and to read thy word. And Father, we pray that we would know much power from the sanctuary tonight, that we would know the very nearness of Jesus as he comes to minister to us, even as he ministered to this blind man so many years ago. And Father, we confess our need of thee, that without Jesus we can do nothing. We need Christ. We need Christ to be in this place. We need Christ to come and minister to our hearts, and that we would know that is by Jesus' power that we could do anything for God. And so, Lord, help us as we look into thy word. Grant to us thy Holy Spirit to open our eyes, and so that we would not be blind. But even as Jesus opened Bartimaeus' eyes, Lord, we pray even in our gathering tonight, that if there is one in this meeting who knows not Jesus as Lord and Savior, thou come now, and that the hand of Christ would be upon that one, and that eyes will be opened. And so answer prayer tonight. Be with us. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. And amen. Well, as we all know, and the Lord Jesus had a very active ministry while he was upon the earth. He went around Israel seeking out those who are in need, desiring to preach the gospel to them, desiring to heal them and to bring them to the Father. For Christ himself said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And as we read in our passage tonight, there is no one better to fit this description than blind Bartimaeus. Now Mark, in his gospel, calls him by name. In the other gospels, we only know him as simply a blind man, or there was two blind men, but whether there's one or two or many others, there probably were others on that road begging along with Bartimaeus. It was the voice of Bartimaeus that Jesus heard and responded to at that time. And Jesus shows personal interest to those who are in need. He does not ignore them. He does not pass them by, but He takes notice. And that's why tonight I would like us to focus on verse 49 of our passage. And it simply says, Jesus stood still. It's amazing that here in this Gospel of Mark, and Mark's Gospel is a very active type of Gospel where Mark is highlighting a very fast-paced nature of Christ and His ministry. Now, the key words in this Gospel are immediately, straightway, and we move quickly from scene to scene as Jesus is going around Israel. But here's a situation where Jesus stands still. And of course, Bartimaeus was not going to pass up the opportunity. He heard that he could be healed by the Savior. And Bartimaeus, again, was not the only one sitting on the road that day. But he is recorded as one who was willing to cry to Jesus. He believed that Jesus was able to change his condition, to make him a new man. And so he was crying out with all his heart. He wasn't going to allow Jesus to pass him by. And Bartimaeus believed the reports of the crowd that Jesus was coming. He could hear the stir of the people all around him, that something different was going on here. This wasn't just another day outside of the city of Jericho. This was to be a notable day. He heard the reports from the crowd that Jesus was coming and that Jesus had power to heal, that He had power to change the life, and power to make one a new creature. And that's the wonderful thing about Jesus. And not only did He touch the heart and life of this blind man, He touches our hearts today. He answers our needs, especially perhaps when we think there are no answers. He comes nigh to us, especially when we feel alone. He comes and He hears the voice of our crying. He responds to us. He does not pass us by. And even for you and for me tonight, Jesus will stand still. He will hear you. He will respond to you. And the wonderful thing about Christ, He still heals infirmities. He still heals the soul that is sick with sin. And the amazing thing about Christ is He's got power to do these things for us if we only cry to Him and believe that He's able to do so. And tonight, as we focus on this text and Jesus stood still, I would like us to consider that Jesus is willing to minister to those who are in need. He's willing to minister to you and to me tonight if we're willing to call upon His name and seek His face and know Him personally in our lives. Now, this text reveals three things that Jesus was willing to do. And the first thing is that He always regards the call for help. He always listens to those who are crying unto Him. Because why did He stand still? I mean, He was on His way to Jerusalem. He was going there with purpose. It was that time when He was going to go to the cross for His people. He was going to lay down His life for you and for me. And the context shows as this crowd is all around Him, and of course there would have been a great noise. These people would have been talking very loudly. But Jesus stops when He hears one voice crying. One voice crying for help. And the first aspect of this call that He hears is that it was a cry of affliction. Bartimaeus was a blind man. He was restricted in how he could live. He could not go around as others were. And the result of his affliction was poverty. He had nothing. Perhaps a few rags on his back. All he could do is stretch out his hand in hopes that people would help him. He was a beggar. He sat down in the dirt and the mire and the muck of the ground. A man who was weak and poor, not able to do anything for himself. And the only thing that he could do is cry out with a voice of affliction to the Savior. That's all he could do. But isn't that the same for you and me? And when we were sinners, lost and undone, we are helpless. We were hopeless. And the great gulf was fixed between us and God because of our sin. We could do nothing to remedy the situation. And all that sinners can do is cry, cry with a voice of affliction, "Lord, Lord, be merciful unto me, the sinner." But not only was it the cry of affliction, it was a cry that he made despite opposition. There are those in the crowd who didn't want him to yell out, that didn't want him to say a thing. And they charged him, it says in verse 48, that he should hold his peace. Quiet down, you're embarrassing us here. The Savior's coming by, he's a very notable and important person. Like, hush up now, we don't want to hear from you, you're just a beggar, you're nobody, nobody important, hush up. And they didn't want Christ to come to him. They were offended at his screaming. They wanted him to be quiet. And there are many in this world today that will prevent people from coming to Jesus Christ. They will laugh, they will joke, they will tell you, "Oh, you don't need to go to him. He's not that important. Why do you have to go to church?" And there are those who will lead us away from Christ. I remember as a young person, when I first met my wife, we had a group of friends that we hung around with all the time. And they were special to us. We enjoyed their company. We liked to be with them. And we spent a long time with them. But the amazing thing is that when my wife and I came to Christ, when we put our trust in Him and decided that we were going to go on with Jesus, all of a sudden those friends disappeared. They mocked, they scorned, they had no time for us. And it hurts. It certainly hurts. Because, you know, these were people that, you know, you thought or we thought that were our friends. That they cared for us. But it's amazing how when you all of a sudden want to go on with Christ, and they laugh, they scoff, they tell us, "No, don't go there. You don't want to go to church." And they thought we were going into a cult, some weird religious organization or group. But we knew better. We were coming to Christ as that source of life. We wanted life. And to remain there with those friends would mean to be remaining in death. Because those people had no time or concern for the things of God. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And so there's times when you have to cry out to Christ and not listen to the voice of opposition, not listen to those friends, so-called, that would laugh at us and scorn us and mock us because we want Christ. Because remember, Christ stood still. He listens. And He knows. He knows the difficulty of these things. But the wonderful thing about our relationship with Christ is God replaces those friends with Christian friends. We have a church family and those who encourage us and help us. And we have a unity. We are unified in our Savior. And so we all are together in Christ. Christ replaces those friends and gives us friends who are Christians. But not only did he have this cry despite opposition, it was a cry of absolute desperation. As he's sitting there, what is he crying out? He's crying out, "Jesus of Nazareth, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, son of David." It's a cry that entreats the Lord to help one who is afflicted, to intervene on behalf of the wretched. Of course, we know Bartimaeus' situation. There was no doctor that could help him. No doctor that could heal him. There was no man that could change his state or his condition. Nobody was there for him. He was hopeless. And every day he was just begging the mercy of man to give him just a few coins in order that he might survive the day. But now he hears that Jesus is coming. He heard reports of the healing. He heard that lepers were healed. The lame were made to walk, the sick were restored, and other blind men also were made to see. What about me? Is there enough Jesus for me? Is Jesus not able to help me? And so he believed that Jesus could do something because he cries out to him, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he uses a messianic title of Christ, that one who would come to save, that one who would redeem his people. Of course, that one that was foretold from the prophets of old. They looked forward to Messiah, and here he was in their midst. And Bartimaeus wasn't going to waste the opportunity. He was going to cry unto him. And you know, that reminds me of people here today. You know, you have an opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. You don't know how many you have. You don't know that if Jesus may be striving with you today, that might be it. He won't strive with you anymore. He might leave you in your sin. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to call upon His name. Today is the day to seek His face and seek salvation. Don't let the moment pass you by. Because remember, if Bartimaeus had not spoken a word, had been remaining silent, if he had listened to the crowd and Jesus had walked on by, there he was. He would have been left in his blindness, lost, undone, hopeless. And we certainly don't want that to be said of you, that Jesus has passed you by. Make sure that you call upon His name today. Know Him as your Lord and Savior. Because in our lives, we will face difficult situations. And of course, no one will be able to help us the way Jesus can. Isn't that true? I mean, there's none that sticketh closer like a brother. There's none that will go down in the valley with us, and none that will lift us up again the way Christ does. And there will be times when we will face sickness and difficulty, and the doctors will have nothing more to say to us. I know in my own family, my grandmother was diagnosed with cancer this past week, and this is very difficult for us and our family. And the doctors, at this point in her life, basically can do very little. And she's about 84 and 85, and of course, when you start chemotherapy and all the rest of it, it's very hard on the body. And very difficult for an older person to bear through that. And I know my grandmother actually doesn't want any treatment. And because she wants at least the last of her days to be without sickness and without side effects from these different therapies. And it's very difficult when doctors have nothing more to say. But the wonderful thing about Christ is He can draw near. He can comfort the heart. He's the one who fills the life with joy when everything else seems to be dark. And so we need to trust in Him. There is no answer in any other person, any other thing in life. Because the wonderful thing about Jesus is He stands still. He doesn't pass us by. He doesn't carry on. He stands still. But notice also that He responds to the one who's in need. He responds. He does not pass him by. He stops to deal with this blind man. And despite the crowd, despite his need to go on to Jerusalem, He responds to what He heard, the crying of the man, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And this was obviously the cry of one who believed. He was going to rescue his child. He wasn't going to leave him there in the muck and the mire. And that's the wonderful thing about Christ. He never leaves us in the muck and the mire, the dirt of the world. He'll always draw us out. Because the key word there in this verse 49 is, "And Jesus stood still." And so it refers back to what's going on in verse 48 and what Bartimaeus is crying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus is very merciful. He stops. Jesus doesn't pass us by. He genuinely seeks His own. But that means in turn we need to seek Him and make sure that our calling and election is sure, that we are saved, that we know Him as Lord and Savior. And each and every one of us need to know the help of God. But He responds and He ministers to our needs. And so He does not pass them by. But He also commands the man to come. He commands the man to come. Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And so He's calling out to this man that he should come to Him. He summons Bartimaeus. And of course, Bartimaeus is now summoned in the presence of the king. And now is his opportunity. Now is his time to call out and have his request made known. And Bartimaeus, what was his immediate reaction to this? He casts away his garments. The garments that were dirty with the world are cast away. He arose and he went to Jesus. We also have a summons. God is summoning you and I. He is calling us to come to Him. As Jesus said in Matthew, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." It's time for you to come to Jesus. It's time to rest on Him and know Him. And we are not to remain in the world. There with the beggarly elements, you and I, and as believers in time past, we're there in the world, dirty with sin, dirty with the old life. But we cast those garments aside, no longer to meddle there. We have a new life in Jesus. That's what Jesus did for this man. He gave him a new life. But he had to give up the old life, didn't he? It meant that he wasn't to stay there as a beggar in the dirt. He was. And later on, we'd read that he would follow Jesus in the way. He had to give up the old life. That's what we have to do. Is we're to follow Christ. We got to give up those beggarly elements of the world, that which polluted us, because that's what Jesus did for us. Did he not cleanse us by his own precious blood? Did he not buy us with a price? And therefore, we're to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. Our lives are his. And so we have to give up sin. We have to give up the old life in order to have everlasting life in Jesus. To lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, following Jesus in the way. The same as this man. Because he commands us to come, as Bartimaeus was. And he desires to know Bartimaeus' difficulty, his problem. He makes inquiry as to what concerns Bartimaeus. He had a desire to know for what he was being summoned for, why he was crying. So Bartimaeus cast away his garments. He rises, he comes to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" What do you want? Why is it that you're calling me, Bartimaeus? The thing is, Christ knew the problem. He knew the problem. He was testing his faith. We have to come by faith. Without faith, there can be no work done. Because that's what he says. "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." You already believed in me. You believed that I could do something for you. That's why you called my name. That's why you came to me when I called you. You believed. And it's only by faith, trusting in Jesus, knowing that He can redeem and save from sin, only by faith can we ever be saved. If it's not by faith, we will stay beggars in the world, dirty and polluted by sin, lost and undone. By faith we come to Jesus. By faith we have healing. By faith He makes us new creatures, no other way. And Christ desires to know our problems. He desires to know what is that which we are dealing with, because Bartimaeus doesn't beat around the bush and he doesn't hedge around or say anything that, "Well, I wish, I hope, I could do." No. "Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, I want to see. I want to have eyes. I want to be able to be like other men here." And for you and I, we bring this into the spiritual realm. We have to have eyes to see. If Christ doesn't open our eyes, we stay in darkness and blindness. And religion to us is vain and empty. It makes no matter. But when Christ opens the eyes and we can behold Him as our Savior, our Redeemer, and we realize that He took our sins upon Himself on that cross when He shed precious blood for you and me, isn't that cause for joy and rejoicing? But how many people are missing out in this world because sin blinds their eyes? They think that the beggarly elements of the world is all they need. They want to stay there in the muck and the mire. They don't want to know the cleansing and the healing of Christ. And it's a sad state of affairs. Do we truly seek the Lord? Are you seeking God today? Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? Are you trusting in Him? Or are you still in the beggarly elements of this world? He desires to know the problem. Are you willing to come? And lastly, Jesus is willing to minister to us because He remedies bad situations. He calms the troubled heart, because here was one who was frantic. Bartimaeus was frantic as he was yelling. It was a frantic cry to the Savior, but now Jesus stops. He stands still and He asks him to come. And the people actually around him said, "Take courage. Take courage. Cheer up. Be calm, because He calleth for thee. Be of good comfort." Be of good comfort. I mean, that's the thing about Christ. He comforts those who are in need. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23, when He was entering into a ship, His disciples followed Him. "And behold, there arise a great tempest in the sea, and the disciples were there in the ship, and the ship seemed like it was going down. The waves are going over it. A great storm, a great tempest had arisen, and there they were. They thought they were alone. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him as He's there in the bottom of the ship. And He says, 'Lord, save us. We perish. We're going to perish here. We're not going to survive this.' But Jesus said, 'Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?'" Why do you fear? Why are you stirred up in your heart? Why are you discomforted? "And He arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." I mean, that's what Christ does to the life. He brings calm and peace where there's before just turmoil. I mean, that's a wonderful thing about knowing Christ. In mercy, He draws us unto Himself, and so we don't need to be frantic. We don't need to be fearful. We don't need to be filled with gloom and doom. But Jesus calms the heart. And He remedies bad situations. He provides for the need. For after Christ asked the question in verse 51, Bartimaeus declares, "That I might receive my sight here." He provided for him. And he had the most urgent and pressing need, for his blindness was bondage, and he was powerless to do anything. But yet, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I mean, Christ, just go thy way. Your faith has made thee whole. He just spoke a word and it was done. I mean, that's the power of Christ. That's how He can remedy situations. He speaks a word and it's over. What tribulation, what trial, what difficulty? Jesus speaks the word and it's over. If we believe. And sure, there's going to be valleys. Sure, there's going to be hard times. But Jesus speaks the word and they're over. He brings us to higher ground again. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about our Savior. He can do anything. And He's willing to take care of us. As long as we're trusting in Him. I mean, that's the impact that He makes in our lives. Because only Christ has the ability to truly transform lives. He transformed this man's life. He transforms our life. And then what follows that? Peace and joy. I mean, what does Bartimaeus do? He follows Jesus in the way. He follows Him. No longer is he there, dependent on others, begging or anything else. He's following Jesus in the way. And so I ask you the question, what are your needs today? What are you facing? Because remember, He gives healing through faith. And Jesus declares to Bartimaeus that his faith has made him whole. His faith has saved him. Faith is the condition for anything. It's faith. Believe in your God. Know Him. And He shall bring it to pass. He shall bless you. He will lift you up again. And of course, it's not just faith itself. Because remember, our faith is not about wishful thinking. "Oh, I hope it'll work out. Somehow it's going to work out." Our faith is always with the view to the object of faith, which is Christ. Christ was the only one who could save this man. We always have to have our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Our eyes have to be fixed on our Savior, for He will answer the need. Not just some wishful thinking, but as we look to Jesus, we cry unto Him. I mean, that's why we pray. Because we have a confidence that Jesus is the one who will answer prayer. He's the one who will bring us to the Father. He's the one who intercedes on our behalf. He's praying for you and for me. And so He gives healing. He meets needs. He undertakes for His people. If we simply believe and trust in Him, Jesus is willing to minister to those who are in need. He's willing to minister to you today. If you just humble yourself and come. He regards the call for help. He hears the cry of those who are in need. He's not that far off. I mean, isn't He not one who fills the heavens and the earth? Where can we ever be that Jesus is not there? For He is one who sticketh closer than a brother. He's one that we can rely upon. One that's dependable, that will not let us down. And He responds to us. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He doesn't pass us by. Even as He came in contact with this man, Bartimaeus, Jesus has a desire to save people. He has a desire to save you and me, and He's done so. And He remedies bad situations. He heals broken hearts. He sets captives free. He heals infirmities. Christ is the answer. Go to Him tonight. Know Him as Lord and Savior. Trust in Him. Walk in His ways. And you will know blessing like you've never had before, because Jesus stands still. He stands still for you. He's there for you. How will you respond? How will you respond to this? Because the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. And the Lord loveth the righteous. And that's the wonderful thing about the Lord. He loves us with an everlasting love, so that He sent His Son into this world to redeem us from sin. I mean, how will He not freely give us anything and all things when He's given us His Son? He will not withhold anything that is good, anything that we need. He will care for us, but we must come to Him by faith, trust in Him and know Him, and rest upon His goodness. Amen.